Welcome to the Beacon Church podcast. We love that you've tuned in. We hope this message not only inspires you, but more importantly, we pray it helps you grow closer to Jesus.
If there's one theme of 2025 that I believe that God has stirred myself, Beck, the teaching team here, leadership across the board, is that God is in the business of transformation. Like, he wants to actually change us. He doesn't want us to stay the same. He wants to change us from where we are. He wants to continue to work us towards being more like Jesus. He wants us to do have a new way of life, right? He wants us to do things differently. And throughout this year, as we've been looking back over all the messages, like, there has literally been one theme, really. Like, the whole year, God's been saying, it's time for transformation. And back in August, I think it was August 19, I preached the message, and so this is where we're going to go today. I preached the message on teachability, the idea of being teachable. And I got to say, I teach this message on Peter and his life, this fisherman that went from a fisher of fish to a fisher of men, and how over 3 years, Jesus helped him transform into the person he was supposed to be. And if you haven't heard that message, go back to August 19 on the podcast. You can do that. Powerful experience for Peter. He was just like you and I. I think that's why I love Peter. Like, I see Peter, you know, I go, Peter, I understand those moments of just, yep, I got it wrong. Like, his whole life, he stuffs up, then he gets back on track, stuffs up. Anyone like that? You're more confident about that than learning anything this year. Great. Okay, good. And so we're going to look at this idea of teachability again, but on a different level, because actually after I preached that message twice, as I was spending time in the Word around that week, a Holy Spirit actually stirred within me more about Peter then. And I actually started writing notes for this 3 months ago. And just like Beck said, I had a thought about patterns and things. I said, hold it. We're going to do a recap series. Add it, right? Add it next, later on this year. But I want to have a look at the moment in Peter's life where he has a revelation of who Jesus is. And it's the moment where he decides, I'm going to follow this guy. And so if you've got your Bible, we're going to open this right now. Luke 5. Jesus calls his first disciples. One day, as Jesus was standing by the lake of Gennesaret, the people were crowding around him and listening to the word of God. He saw at the water's edge two boats left there by fishermen who were washing their nets. He got into one of the boats, the one belonging to Simon, and asked him to put out a little from shore. Then he sat down and taught the people from the boat. When he had finished speaking, he said to Simon, "Put out into deep water and let down the nets for a catch." Simon answered, "Master, we've worked hard all night and haven't caught anything. But because you say so, I will let down the nets." When they had done so, they caught such a large number of fish that their nets began to break. So they signaled their partners in the other boat to come and help them. And they came and filled both boats so full that they began to sink. When Simon Peter saw this, he fell at Jesus' knees and said, "Go away from me, Lord. I am a sinful man." For he and all his companions were astonished at the catch of fish they had taken. And so were James and John, the sons of Zebedee, Simon's partners. Then Jesus said to Simon, "Don't be afraid. From now on, you will fish for people." So they pulled their boats up on the shore, left everything, and followed him. In August, I talked about this moment, like Peter gets schooled on fishing by a rabbi. Like a fisherman who has fished his entire life, this lake, has been out all night and they caught nothing. And then a rabbi says to him, "Are you doing it wrong? You should go into the deep, go out into the deep and go fishing again." And Peter's thinking, okay, the rules of fishing here are you fish at night so the fish can't see the nets. The rules of fishing here is we use nets. It's surface level fishing, not deep fishing. You're going down to the deep. And notice that Peter only takes his boat. If you look into deep sea fishing of the time, you actually need two boats. So Peter kind of stepped out by going, yeah, I'll take my boat, but I don't think anything's going to happen. I'm not going to get another boat involved. But then he has to call out to his friends, second boat, and then two boats are full of fish. So Peter gets schooled on fishing by a rabbi. And it messes with his head so much that he's like, who is this guy? Who is he? And earlier this year, I talked about the moment. That is a huge moment where you go, there's something about this guy that I can learn. I could learn some more. If a fisherman gets schooled on fishing by a rabbi, then maybe he could teach me some more. And he drops everything, leaves everything. But as I went away from preaching this earlier this year, because I talked about the ability to actually learn and be taught, apply something from someone that might know more than you, another revelation hit me that afternoon. And I got to tell you, the Holy Spirit often speaks and, you know, he stirs us. And I felt like, I just felt the Holy Spirit say, "As, there's way more to this than just Peter being obedient to the rabbi." Peter, in that moment, yes, he had a miracle of a lot of fish, but Peter, in that moment, had a supernatural thing happen within him. The Holy Spirit revealed to him who Jesus was, that he was worth following. There was a moment of discernment within Peter's spirit that it would be better for me to leave everything that I have right now, everything that I've built, to choose to follow this rabbi. Now, you got to think about that. There's a lot of rabbis around at the time. Peter's not new to seeing rabbis. But there's something going off in his spirit going, follow him. Follow him. In that moment, Peter receives a gift that I hope that we all have in our lives when we follow it, the gift of discernment. The gift of discernment, wisdom to go, okay, there's a lot of teachers. He's the one I'm going to listen to. He's the one I'm going to listen to. In fact, we know that it's the Holy Spirit that's stirring Peter. It's in line with scriptures because you think about all the other fishermen on the lake that day that would have known Peter for years, Peter and his brothers. Like they would have been like, what are you boys doing? We're going. What are you doing with your boats? We don't care. Use them if you want. See ya. Everyone else around their life would have gone, you're a fool. You're an idiot. Your livelihood is fishing. You can't pay the bills if you follow Jesus. What are you going to do? Everyone else would have been looking at it as it is crazy, but the discernment within Peter's spirit says, I know it's crazy, but I got to do it. That's what God gives us. He gives us a soul, a spirit that he wants to speak to and actually bring about transformation if you allow him. Romans 8, 5, 6 says this, those who live according to the flesh have their mind set on what the flesh desires, but those who live in accordance with the Spirit have their mind set on what the Spirit desires. Every other fisherman had their mind set on what the flesh desires. I need to get some fish, to sell some fish, to pay the bills, to buy the bigger boat. And Peter, his spirit shifts to having the heart and the mind and the Spirit of God going, I don't care about all of that. I just want Jesus. There's a change. It says the mind governed by the flesh is death, but the mind governed by the Spirit is life and peace. What if someone asked you today to leave your job with no idea of what's happening tomorrow, but you just knew that you knew that you knew in your spirit you had to do it? Beck and I have had these moments. Beck came home one night. I've shared this before. One night she came home. Well, actually, I came home from being on the road. And I get home and my wife's bawling her eyes in bed. Great. Any husband here, you're like, I'm tired, but okay, what do you need to say? She's crying. And I'm like, what's wrong? She says, I just feel like I have to quit my job. Now, I was starting my business and I'm like, no, bad idea. We need your money. Pay the bills. You know, I'm thinking, okay, just sleep this off, okay? But she, the thing about Beck, she is so in tune with the Spirit. I've seen it on her life for so long that like when Beck says something, I'm like, okay, I need to stop because, okay, right. So what I did as a husband to be a supportive husband was I went, well, let's pray about it. And I prayed for her, went to sleep, and I thought in the morning she'll be better. Like she'll be better, right? The next morning, she's like, I have to finish. I just know that God is calling me out of that job. I just know. And by the way, the job was amazing. She just got a promotion. You know, she was on the trajectory. And I'm like, you're so good at it. Like, why would you quit? But at the same time, it was rolling around in my spirit too by that time. Because I was like, God, if this is of you, I'm like, yeah, okay. And so by about 7 a.m. the next morning, I said, yeah, I think you should resign for your job. Like this is, and when I say 7 a.m., the reason it was 7 a.m. is we had to go and have a coffee later that morning with a lady from our church, right? We'd set this up. This is the church on the Gold Coast. And so we go out for breakfast, and as we're having breakfast at about 8 o'clock, her phone rings and she goes, oh, I better take this. And so sure, so she goes outside, comes back in. We finish the meeting. I said, who called you? She said, so crazy. Lady Sue Ellen at the time, who was in part of our movement of churches, was working for Ross Abraham, who is the chairman. She had called Beck and said, Beck, we need someone to be Ross's EA. And we know you've got an amazing job. We know you're very good at it, and you probably never consider leaving. You would never consider leaving. But we just couldn't shake it. Your name's been rolling around. Would you be interested in working for Ross? Within 10 hours. So Beck's telling me this in the car, and I'm like, well, what do we do? And she goes, it's probably going to be a massive pay cut. You're probably not going to be able to get fish anymore. You're probably not going to be able to pay the things, and it's going to be a pay cut. It's going to be harder for us. But you know what? God had already revealed to us this was right. The discernment within our spirit was, whatever happens, like, we've just decided, let's do this. We don't know what's next. And then within 10 hours, the phone call happens. So Beck said yes. Beck just called back and said, yep, I'd love to talk. And we prayed about it and said, God, if it's less money, we'll trust in you. If it's like, we know that this is probably going to hurt us financially, but you have opened the door. You've shown us a way. And I remember about a week later, they said to her, Beck, we want to employ you. And they just matched her wage and we continued. Discernment, being in tune with the Spirit, man, it will change the game with your faith walk. We need to have the ability to discern what is God and what is not. And we see in Peter's life another thing that he experiences, because Peter was so happy to leave everything. He actually experiences the peace of God on his decision, which is also connected to the Word of God, Philippians 4, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and mind. Peter's prepared to let go of everything because he's got the peace of God hitting him. It doesn't make sense, but I just know that I know that I know this is what we have to do. Who wants that in their life? Who wants that? When you follow Jesus and you're obedient to his callings, actually a lot of times things don't make sense. It's called faith. If you can figure it all out, it's not faith. I want you to think about that. If you can make everything add up on paper, it's not faith, that's human logic. So you need to be in a position, not in a space of faith where you're like, well, God's just going to do everything. We partner with him. We bring our best. And then God interacts and works with us. It's a relationship that we have with God. So like I've had, you know, young people say, I'm going on a missions trip. God's going to give me the money 3 months out. And I go, great. Are you working? Oh, God's going to give me the money. And then 3 months later, they're not going on the missions trip and they're blaming God. I'm like, no. God also gives you and equips you a little bit. Discern that. Work hard, but let him touch it. And man, your life is going to be changed forever. Peter stepped out of what he was doing to go and do something different. But the thing is, he must have known within his spirit there was more. God was calling him to more. Just so you know, if you follow Jesus, the Bible says that the world will think you're a fool. You're crazy. You're a fool. Peter, you're a fool. But we see him completely changed. 1 Corinthians 1:18, 25 says it like this. For the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who being saved is the power of God. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise, the intelligence of the intelligent I will frustrate. Where is the wise person? Where is the teacher of the law? Where is the philosopher of the age? Has not God made foolish the wisdom of the world? For since in the wisdom of God, the world through its wisdom did not know him, God was pleased through the foolishness of what was preached to save those who believe. Jews demand signs and Greeks look for wisdom. But we preach Christ crucified, a stumbling block to Jews and foolishness to Gentiles. But to those whom God has called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ, the power of God and wisdom of God. For the foolishness of God is wiser than human wisdom, and the weakness of God is stronger than human strength. Let me just read that last bit again. For the foolishness of God is wiser than human wisdom, and the weakness of God is stronger than human strength. Peter had the ability to discern that this teacher was worth listening to. There's something about Jesus. He just knew within his spirit this is the right thing to do. It was confirmed within his spirit, and he stepped out of that boat. Today I want to talk about discernment. The definition of discernment is the ability to recognize, understand, and distinguish between truth and error, right and wrong, good and evil, or wise and unwise choices. Actually, we need discernment in every element of our life. Not, you know, like every element. You need discernment on which house to purchase, or we need discernment in which job to take. We need discernment on the little things of when to open your mouth and when to not. You need discernment. Like every decision we make, we need discernment. We need wisdom, correct? But today I want to talk about spiritual discernment, because I believe wholeheartedly this is probably the hardest thing that we have going on in the church today. Many weeks I find myself in the foyer where someone will come to me and say, "Pastor Az, I'm going to do this. God told me. God told me this." Or, "Somebody told me God told me this." Ever been in one of those conversations? God said. And when it comes to spiritual discernment, I once read it, said that this is actually what spiritual discernment looks like. The Holy Spirit empowered ability to perceive God's truth and distinguish it from anything else false, deceptive, or misleading. Now, earlier on this year, I talked about Peter had the ability to learn, and he would take on Jesus' instruction, and as a result, he becomes an apostle. First time that he preaches, 3,000 people get saved. Jesus said on the first day, "You're going to fish for men." 3 years on, he actually does what Jesus said would happen. So the prophetic word, the moment where Jesus speaks it, it's going to come to pass when Peter is obedient to Jesus' calling over 3 years. It happens, right? The problem with words like "God said" or "God has spoken to me" is we have to discern what is right and what is wrong, especially in the world we live in. Beck, I think, opened this up beautifully last week. If you didn't hear Beck's message last week, amazing, by the way. Go and listen to the podcast. She talked about a scripture where it says we are responsible to actually have discernment. Responsible to see things for what they are. We can't just blindly accept everything we hear. I was talking to a lady at a shop just this week. She had come to this church for a short period of time, gave her heart to Jesus, and hasn't come back. Now, I said to her, "What happened? What's going on?" And she said, "Well, actually, someone in the foyer said this to me." And I said, "Who told you that?" She goes, "Oh, this person." I said, "They've only been a Christian for 2 weeks. Like, I would not be taking words of advice from that. Actually, what they've told you goes against the word of God." She goes, "Really?" Yeah. And so the hard thing is, with everyone wanting to have a voice in our ear, we've got to figure out what is of God and what is not. The scripture Beck talked about last week was Matthew 7:15-20. "Watch out for false prophets. They come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ferocious wolves. By their fruit you will recognize them. Do people pick grapes from thorn bushes or figs from thistles? Likewise, every good fruit bears good fruit, but a bad tree bears bad fruit. A good tree cannot bear bad fruit, and a bad tree cannot bear good fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. Thus, by their fruit you will recognize them." This passage effectively is saying you need to discern who you're connected to. The tree, what is it producing? Because it produces its own, and you actually are responsible to figure that out. Jesus doubles down on this when he says to those who choose to follow him, we're known as his sheep. He says this in Matthew 10:16, "I'm sending you out like sheep amongst wolves. Therefore, be as shrewd as snakes and as innocent as doves." In other words, he says, be wise, be sharp, figure this out. Don't just take everything as gospel. I love that my mom, growing up as a teenager, she never actually really ever said to me as a teenager, "Don't do that," right? What she would say before I'd go out, and she knew that I was going out with the boys or whatever, especially after 18, she'd go, "Out with the boys." She would have never say, "Aaron," that's my real name, "don't do that." What she would say is, "Aaron, be wise." I hated it when she said that. Aaron, be wise. There would be no more conversation. She wouldn't even talk about where are you going, what are you doing, what am I expecting. All she would say is be wise. And I love it because it's actually the best thing ever you can say to someone, because it's like your responsibility, be wise. Use wisdom, discernment on is that a good idea or not. And if I was to say to our church one thing, be wise, have wisdom, discernment, ask God what is true and what is not. Recognize, understand, and distinguish between truth and error, right and wrong, good and evil, wise and unwise choices. This is why we need discernment so much. There's a war going on for your soul. There's a war going on for your soul. There is good and there is evil. There is God, and the scriptures say he wants to give you life and life abundant, like the best of the best. And there's the devil, whose plan is to rob, kill, and destroy. Rob, kill, and destroy. The one that's known as the guy that wants to rob, kill, and destroy, also in the scripture says he appears as an angel of light. He's the ultimate deceiver. And if we don't have the ability to deceive who is God and who is not, we will just get smashed. And so today we're going to have a look at some things that I hope will just equip you over the Christmas season in particular to make great decisions. Because when you go into a new year, that's when we start changing things, don't we? We go, okay, in 2026, 2025, write it off, 2026. We start making big decisions, changing things. We change our life in a whole bunch of ways, whether it's new schools, new locations. We decide to continue doing certain things. Will I keep playing this sport or not? Will we be part of this as a family? Like, you know, you ask. So you need wisdom to know, is this the right thing and is it in line with God? And today I want to say, probably in the last 5 years, in regards to being a pastor here, I see so many people become Christians, as I said, and then have a chat with someone that hasn't, like, it's like the wrong advice, they listen to the wrong thing, and then they disappear. They disappear. And so we've got to be really, really discerning. And I want to talk about who we choose to allow to be our teacher. Like, who are you letting be in your ear every day? I mean, we've got a lot of teachers in the world right now. Social media, there are hundreds of thousands of teachers that demand respect because of the number of followers they have. But that person, like, this was a conversation I had 2 weeks ago with a young girl up from Byron, and she was just talking about how, yeah, I follow this you know, social media, da da da. And I'm like, so who are they? And I looked them up. It was actually a New Age guy. Like, it was all spirituality is not the same. And like, yeah, this person says this. And I'm like, so why do you follow? Well, all my friends do. This content creator has like 2 million plus followers. That is not the blue tick of approval when it comes to following God. And I said to this girl, hey, have you actually considered this is what Jesus says? She goes, oh, right. That makes so much sense. I want to look at a guy actually that I love, who was teachable, who had the discernment to break the mold of the time. A Jewish leader who actually decided to listen to the Holy Spirit instead of get caught up in the religious duty of the time when it comes to choosing his teacher. This leader, his name is Apollos. He was a powerful, educated Jewish preacher from Alexandria. So he's a man's man. He knows the word of God, the Old Testament. He knows things, but he's come to Christ. He was mighty in scripture. He knew it back and front. He was a major Christian leader. He was a recognized teacher, a skilled debater, a public synagogue preacher, a partner with Paul in ministry. You read about him in Acts. He was already highly trained and respected. And there's a moment where Apollos is preaching in a synagogue. And there's a couple that also has been following Jesus' teaching that have a further revelation of what Jesus has done. And they invite him into their home to learn more. They actually go to him and say, hey, we actually think there's more. We think that you've missed something about Jesus. Would you like to learn? And he discerns that actually they have the Holy Spirit on their life. And he puts himself in a position to sit under the leadership and the teaching of a woman. Priscilla. Priscilla and Aquila. Like he actually goes, I know your husband's a tent maker. And I know that Jewish culture is I can't learn from you. But I have the discernment within my spirit. You can teach me something. It's so interesting. Some people get so caught up in the rules that they don't have the discernment to actually see the fruit on someone's life. I guarantee you Apollos wasn't just listening to a lady, like in the sense of it wasn't just a, I have an opinion. He noticed on her life, man, there's something there, you have it. And I can actually learn from you. The religious leaders of the time, if you don't know, often came to Jesus trying to trip him up on his teaching. They got really angry at him because he healed a man whose body was completely broken on the Sabbath. And he says to them, are you kidding me? You want to get caught up on semantics when the Holy Spirit, have some discernment and see this life of this man has been completely restored. We have to discern who to listen to. You ever read the Bible and you go, oh, it just sounds like 2025? Like, how? How are we, like 2,000 years down the track, still doing the same stuff? Because we're human. We are people of pattern. We talked about that last week. There's a pattern of the world and there's a pattern of God's ways. And we can either choose to follow the pattern of the world or not. And that pattern will continue for generations beyond. But when it comes to deciding who we're going to listen to, 2 Timothy 4, 3 to 4 says this, for the time will come when people will not put up with sound doctrine. Instead, they'll suit their own desires. They will gather around them a number of teachers to say what their itching ears want to hear. They will turn their ears away from the truth and turn aside to myths. What is social media? What is an algorithm? Whatever you watch will feed you more of what you believe. And more, and then you'll think the whole world believes the same thing. No, what you've done is you've surrounded your whole life with things that will actually itch your ears. Discernment. Now, I've got to say this. I'm sure you're probably thinking, yeah, well, if Jesus was here, we'd be happy to follow him. Like, I'd follow Jesus, but I have to follow as or another pastor. I've got to choose to follow someone who's teaching and decide if what they're saying is true. Just so you know, I feel the weight of that. The scripture says really clearly in James 3:1, not many of you should become teachers, my fellow believers, because you know that who teach will be judged more strictly. When I get to heaven, I get flogged more if I get it wrong. You know, that's not doctrine, that's theological. You don't get flogged when you go to heaven, but you know what I mean. But on the podcast, as said, you go to heaven and get flogged. I got to tell you, I feel that weight, hey. I'm like, every time I'm writing a sermon, I'm like, God, give me discernment and wisdom to speak the truth. I don't always get it right. We'll never always get it right. But I tell you what, my heart is to be more like Jesus. And I hope that shows. Thank you. Truth is, discernment is more needed today than ever before because everyone is demanding that you listen to them. Everyone. It's the reason I actually don't really use social media much at all. If there's one thing I've learned, I'm just sharing personal story. If there's one thing I've learned about following Jesus for 20 plus years, I've learned that many people say, God said. God said this, God said that. What they're actually saying is a prophet told me something. Because anyone who says God said, that's a prophetic word you're saying. God said, I heard from God, he's told you this. That's a prophet. And in that previous passage of scripture, it says, hey, be careful of false prophets. Anyone who says God said, God told me this, God did this, God did that. Man, I'm very, very slow to use those words. Maybe earlier in my Christian faith, I'd be quick to say it, but I slow down and go, is that you, Lord, speaking or not? Because it holds weight. Today I'm going to talk about how you can discern if God really said it or not. So you can figure out if God is speaking or not. There's been prophetic words that have been given to me in my life. Someone has said, I believe God is going to do this in your life. That I've thought, yeah, you're smack on. And they've been a Christian for 2 weeks. They've just got the power of the Holy Spirit on them. And you're like, whoa. And then there's other people that have been in church for 20 plus years who say, God said, I'm like, there's nothing further from the truth. Like the word of God, that doesn't line up with the word of God. God cannot lie. He is truth. He cannot lie. And so I've just got three things I want to say today that will help you discern making decisions as you head into 2026. First, when someone's quickly to speak says, God said, I want you to test it. Test it. Scriptures say this, 1 Thessalonians 5:19 to 24. Do not quench the Spirit. In other words, don't poo-poo the Holy Spirit. Don't be that person that's like, God can't speak. Don't be that person. It says, do not treat prophecies with contempt. In other words, don't be angry when someone says God says. Don't like play that down. But test them all. Hold on to what is good. Reject every kind of evil. May God himself, the God of peace, sanctify you through and through. In other words, may the God of peace keep working in your life to become more and more like Jesus, the God of peace. May your whole spirit, soul, and body be kept blameless at the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. The one who calls you is faithful, and he will do it. When someone says God said, test it. Don't just take it for his word. Actually test it. It's actually up to you to test it, not just accept it. It's your spiritual responsibility to do this. And sometimes you have to wait to see it happen. I mentioned this. I've had a few prophetic words that have just blown my mind. 21 years ago, I had a prophetic word over my life when I wasn't even in church at the time. I'd gone away from God. Prophetic couple came through a Christian radio station I was working, volunteering on, and I got told I had to get prayed for. So I sat there reluctantly, and a couple, which I do not know their names today, spoke over me, woman shaking. It was actually one of those moments you're like, weirdos. And she says, you're going to speak in front of thousands of people and not feel nervous. And what she doesn't know is I've only ever done one speech in my life. I avoided public speaking in school. I'm now a year out of school. I have no desire to ever stand on a platform in my life. Second, I'm incredibly terrified of crowds. So I'm thinking, you're just trying to play off the fact I'm a radio announcer. You're just trying to say things that, you know, I'm like, no. And they unpack a bunch of things on my life. And here's the thing. I didn't poo-poo it. I didn't despise it. I didn't shut it down like, you idiot, and go on for a smoke, because I did back then. Completely away from God. But I also sat on it and went, okay, God, if that is your word, you do it. And that's how we received words of prophecy. We don't go banging down doors the next day going, God told me I'm going to speak in front of thousands of people. Hello, Brian Houston. I'd like to speak at Hillsong. Like, you know, you don't do that because if it's of God, God will do it anyway. All I have to do is be obedient to the daily moment of trying to be more like Jesus. And he will make it happen. It was about 4 months later that I got a call from 96.5 here in Brisbane, the radio station. And they said, hey, we heard your demo of your radio in Toowoomba. Would you like to apply for a job? A paid gig in radio. I'm like, this is great. It was an amazing wage, 23 grand a year. By the way, it made no sense. But I had discernment to go, there's something on that. At the time I got offered a job at Telstra, 40 grand a year, but something in my spirit was like, no. I wasn't even in church, but there was just the Holy Spirit was already stirring me. I rock up at this radio station and I'm doing a show. And then about 3 months into my job, my boss calls me to his office. He says, by the way, you're emceeing a music festival. I said, what do you mean? Well, your radio show sponsors the festival. You're the MC. And I said, I don't do public speaking. He's like, well, I don't care. Because many other young people would love your job. You either do it or there's the door. And I was terrified. It was out at Boona, of all places. music festival called Sunfest. And I remember going out there and I was so terrified. I'm telling you, I was terrified. On the side of stage, I was pacing up and down. I felt physically sick because there was 5,000 people in the crowd. I remember getting on the stage and getting given a microphone, literally handed to me, go. And as walked out on this stage, it was nighttime, so a massive spotlight, poof. I had one job, to introduce the next band. I had a complete blank. Couldn't remember their name, couldn't remember my name. Like, can you imagine 5,000 people wanting their favourite band to play and the only thing between them and seeing that is the guy that's saying nothing? I'm standing there going, and then it comes back to me, please welcome to the stage, I say it, and boom, in a moment, the peace of God hits me. And I walk off, I came on full of fear, I walked off going, And as I walked off, the Holy Spirit went, you will speak in front of thousands of people and not feel nervous. And I went, ooh. So what did I do? I went back to my boss and said, don't ever do that again. I actually did. I had a full out fight with my boss. I said, you don't understand. I am not a public speaker. I don't do that. Please, when you do music festivals, use the guy that does the afternoon show. He can MC. And my boss looked at me and said, no worries. And I thought, I told him. Young 20-year-old Az has told the boss. And then about 3 months later, he said to me, calls me in his office, said, Az, man, you're emceeing another gig. And I went, what? And he goes, don't. I said, how many people? He said, they're expecting 15,000 people. Well, this is the third time I've ever public spoken in my life. I said, 15? He goes, could be more. I said, what the heck is the gig? He said, Guy Sebastian just won Australian Idol. You're emceeing his first gig public. What? Yep. I was like, can Nat do it? Can the other guy do it? And he goes, nope. Harden up, princess. Really lovely boss. And I was terrified. I remember, side of stage, up in Toowoomba, 20 years of age. I'm the shy kid, doesn't talk. Get given a mic, want to throw up, get on the stage. And when I stood on the stage that time, it wasn't in, before I spoke, the peace of God hit me and went, poof, this is what you're meant to do. So I spoke. For the next 10 years, I emceed every main stage at the Easterfest Music Festival. My English teacher's like, what happened to you? I'm like, I don't know. But a prophetic word was spoken over me that came to pass. Now, there was many other things in that prophetic word that I can tell you now that they blew my mind then. And I just went, if that's you, God, you do it. And I've literally never knocked on a door for it. And only, you know, a few weeks ago, from 21 years ago, God, I literally found myself sitting in a situation where the Holy Spirit said, see, I told you this would happen. 21 years. But how do you discern the prophetic? How do you discern which word is true and which word is not? And everyone wants to tell you, God told me. I had a best mate who used to always say, like he was dating this girl. He dated her, broke up with her like 10 times. It was ridiculous. And every time we sat down, he said, but God told me. God told me. And I had to say after about the 10th time, I said, mate, stop giving God a bad rap for your crap relationship. God didn't tell you anything because God is in the business of great relationship and you are not in one. And I'm telling you, like, I just was like, stop it. It's not in line with the word of God. Test it. This is my second point. God can't go against his word. God will not tell you to do something that is anti his word. He just won't. That's how you can discern it. I had a lady years ago come to me, church about 9 years ago, sit me down and go, God's told me to leave my husband because he wants me to be happy. No, he didn't. What does the word of God say about marriage and what you're supposed to do and how you're supposed to work? Like, God will not tell you to do something that goes against his word. I had another guy, he had a prophetic word that God was going to change his life. He was a new Christian, was going to change his life, and a new job was on the way. It was amazing. He was a new Christian, he was full of faith. And someone give this word. The week later, he comes to me and goes, God's amazing, he's just given me a new job. I said, well, what's the job? And he said, I'm working for the Gambling and Alcohol Association. I'm going to be their rep, traveling around, working in gambling, working in alcohol. And I said, and I'm going to be away 6 months a year. Like, literally, you're married with a child, and he's calling you into a place that God says, stay away from. But he couldn't hear it. But God told me I'd have a new job, and he wants me to be fine. He's given me so much money, I can be a blessing. Maybe it's about discerning. Hang on, God will give me a new job, but maybe this is a distraction. Like, let's not rush into, because here's the thing about Satan. He's very cunning. He will tell you all sorts of things. Why? He presents as an angel of light. He will even use the word of God to deceive you. He tried it with Jesus. This is serious. Satan wants to take you out. So how can you know that it's from God? You need to know the word of God yourself. You need to be in it. You need to be praying, Holy Spirit, would you reveal to me the truth? What does your word say? I know this is what I've received. You know how Satan works? By the way, he can't read your mind. Satan cannot read your mind, but he can watch your behavior. So what he does is he sits back and watches your behavior. And then he doubles down on your behavior. So what he'll do is he'll go, you don't like that, so now I'm going to send someone in to affirm your behavior and get people around you to tickle your ears to say your behavior is good, but it's leading to death and destruction. Satan's not dumb. The only thing that you can do to counteract that is know his word. And actually outwork, your word says this, Lord, I'm going to be obedient to your word. Hebrews 4:12 says this, for the word of God is alive and active, sharper than any double-edged sword. It penetrates even to dividing soul and spirit, joints and marrow. It judges thoughts and attitudes of the heart. Nothing in all creation is hidden from God's sight. Everything is uncovered and laid bare before the eyes of him to whom he must give account. John 14:26 says this, but the advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and remind you of everything that I said to you. He will remind you of everything I've said to you. He will remind you of everything I've said to you. Where does God speak to you? In the word. There's been so many times in my life following Jesus where something seems right, but the Holy Spirit reminds me of a scripture, brings it to my spirit and goes, hang on, that's just one degree off. And one degree over a long period of time leaves you very lost. Very lost. Jesus, when he has to confront Satan after he fasts for 40 days, where Satan tries to use the word of God, he just rebuts it with the word of God. How does he know the word of God? Because for the last 40 days, he spent time in the word. He didn't just sit there not eating. He's being proactive in his faith walk. Before you make a decision in your life, a major decision, ask yourself, what does the word of God say? Is it in line with the character of God? Is this like Jesus or is this not? And then finally, if you're not sure about that, you're still not sure because it's so confusing. I'm telling you, church, this is it's the hardest time in the history of the world, I believe, to be able to discern. But thank God we can have scriptures like this. James 1:5. If any of you lacks wisdom, you should ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault, and it will be given to you. Notice this, it says, will give generously to all without finding fault. He's not going to go, you're an idiot. He just goes, thank you for asking. There's no fault in you. I actually love that you asked. I will give it generously to you if you ask. If you ask. So my challenge as we wrap up 2025, before we get into the Christmas season, is would you allow the Holy Spirit to guide you through this season, you and your family? Would you have the discernment to be more like Jesus instead of listening to everyone else's opinions, would you actually first go to God? Would you be wise in who you decide to listen to? Look for the fruit on the life of those that are teaching you. You know, actually, it's good and bad. Being a teacher here in this church, like, you get to be close to me and see me on a daily. And I hope that once you get to know me, you'll know that that's my heart. I do want to be more like Jesus. When you're just watching social media or listening to podcasts, you have zero connection to that person. You have no idea. And there's actually something beautiful about community. It's actually the thing that sets the church apart for being a community, because you can stand but sit back and watch over a long period of time and go, who is that person? And you can discern, actually, that's someone who I want to follow or someone I don't want to follow. When you're just following online, all you're doing is receiving content and ideas. And remember, algorithms are built to feed your itchy ears. Let's choose wisely who we connect to and produce good fruit in our lives as we want to connect to Jesus more. I love that Apollos, a man that could have said, there's no way I'm learning from a woman, decides, no, you have the Holy Spirit on your life and I am going to just do it because I want to be more like Jesus. Seriously, let's not get caught up in this. I want to be more like Jesus, and I see Jesus all over your life. Test prophecies. Maybe you've had a prophecy over your life that hasn't happened and you're angry with God because it didn't happen. I've seen this happen way too much too. A prophetic word over a young person's life and they've sat there and waited and waited and waited and done nothing in the waiting. They haven't just decided to keep following Jesus and trust him and his timing. And all they've done is try to knock down doors to make it happen. And then when it doesn't happen, what do? They're more in love with the prophetic word than Jesus himself. And they hate God because he never did what he said he'd do. And they blame everyone else because... And God's like, hang on. Did you test it? And when it didn't maybe play out the way you thought it would, are you still okay that I'm enough? I'm enough. God can't go against his word. Let's know his word by reading it in this season. And finally, may we be people that are quick to ask for help and say, God, I need your wisdom and discernment. Amen? Amen. Hey, let's just quickly pray. First and foremost, to receive Holy Spirit wisdom, you've got to accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior. It's the beginning. It's saying, Jesus, I repent of my ways before. From now on, I am going to tune my ear into your word and who you are, and I want to be obedient to you. I believe you died on a cross, you rose again, and because of that death and resurrection, I can put my faith in you, and I know by grace I'm saved. In other words, there's nothing I can do to get your love. But God, once I receive your love, would you show me which way to go? I want to be a follower of you, Jesus. And the beginning is just saying, Jesus, I need you. And maybe that's you today. Maybe you need to repent that you've actually been trying to live your life your way for you. And God's saying, hey, repent. In other words, turn your life around. Leave that old way of doing stuff and follow me. Maybe that's you today and you're like, I just need to surrender and just give my heart to Jesus. If that's you today, I'd love to be able to pray with you. Introduce you to Jesus, the one that's changed my life. He's so beautiful. He's so beautiful and so gracious and loving and forgiving. He wants to be with you. If that's you today, you're like, Jesus, I want to be with you. I want to follow your ways. Just raise your hand wherever you are. I just want to pray with you. The beginning of this walk with God. Wherever you are, across, if your heart is pounding, that's, discern that. In other words, go, oh, that's you, God. That's you going, I just need Jesus. Just raise your hand wherever you are. I just want to pray for you. Okay. Oh, I see that hand. It's amazing. It's incredible. Give a round of applause. It's incredible. A moment with Jesus, like in this moment, your eternity has changed. After we pray this prayer, your eternity is secured. It's a free gift of God. It's grace. It's what the Bible calls grace. You get what you don't deserve. He loves you. He died on a cross for you. He rose again to give you life and life abundant, to change everything in your world. From this day, though, your responsibility is to keep looking to him. Is there anyone else that needs to just really just go, God, I want to give my life to you. I want to get my life right. I'm going to give my life to you. Is there anyone else that wants to join this young lady? All right, we're going to pray. We're all going to pray this together. Dear Jesus, we thank you that you love us and you want to help us. Today, we repent again, or for the first time. We repent again and we choose to follow you. Jesus, help us hear your voice to know which way to go. Thank you for your death and resurrection. Thank you for life eternal. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen.
Thank you so much for listening to this week's message. For more information about our church, please head to beaconchurch.com.au. We look forward to welcoming you to our home.